do it right, and it'll be all right. Let's talk about it on this edition of He Writes.
You kind of get tired of doctrine without application, religion without reality, and cliches without truth? If so, you've come to the right place. The place, He Writes, the teacher, Steve Brown.
Thanks, Mike. If you have your Bible, by the way, I hope you had a great weekend. I hope your pastor's sermon meant as much to you as mine did to me. If you have your Bible, open it to the book of Daniel. As we continue with our Old Testament survey, we are up to the book of Daniel. By the way, I think I've told you, but our staff is putting together some booklets that cover some of this material on the Old Testament survey, and I think they've got the first booklet out up through Esther. And if you would like to have that booklet, if you'll, I'll give you some phone numbers at the end of the broadcast and an address. And if you'd like to have that, it highlights the books that we've covered in introductory comments, outline major themes. It can be helpful to you as you study the Old Testament. And they only have the first one. There may be three or two. We just aren't sure yet because I'm not finished with this thing yet. But Genesis through Esther is finished. And if you'd like that, yeah, we'll send it to you free. You just write us or call us, and I'll give you the addresses at the end of the broadcast. And if you've been with us, you're aware that the book of Daniel is a part of a much, much longer series. And if you were listening last week, I took some time to look at two controversies surrounding the book of Daniel. One that is often a controversy between unbelievers and believers. That's sometimes about the dating of Daniel. And we saw that as early as the 3rd century, a man who hated the Christian faith, a vigorous opponent of the Christian faith, started using the book of Daniel to show that faith was not true. Because Daniel predicted the future, and the future happened, and we all know, don't we, that you cannot predict the future. Now, those of you who are smart and who have listened to what I've taught you know that that doesn't prove anything. That just means that you've ruled out predictive prophecy by definition, not in reality. And I took some time last week also to talk about another controversy in the book of Daniel, and that is the controversy between believers over the interpretation of the book of Daniel. Now, when we get beyond the 6th chapter of Daniel, I will at that time show you some of the different views. But you need to know none is absolutely orthodox. None have anything to do with anybody's salvation. None are chiseled in concrete. And I would suggest that anybody that tells you that they've got the book of Daniel down, or the book of Revelation down, that they have all the answers, and they speak from Sinai. Don't buy a used car from that person, because the transmission's going to fall out. You just can't be that sure about these things. The book of Daniel is highly symbolic in some places. And then on Thursday, I talked about how I do a ministry philosophy at the seminary. And I tell students, there's some places where you must decide, as a young man or as a young woman, I will not compromise. And then there's some places where you got to decide, well, maybe I would compromise on this particular area or in this particular place. And in the last exam I gave my students, I asked them to talk about a ministry philosophy. What are some of the areas where you will not compromise, and where are some of the areas where you will compromise? And to be perfectly honest with you, I was quite impressed. When students do well, it's not because they're smart, it's because their teacher was so great. If you believe that, you'll believe anything. But anyway, I was reading these essay questions, and I was so pleased with the students. They would say things, I will not compromise on the authority of God's Word. I will not compromise on the fundamentals of the faith. I will compromise in areas of liturgy or contemporary music and methods whereby people do ministry. I will not compromise on the resurrection of Christ, but I will compromise on some of the different views that have to do with the end times. And I thought, they got it. By golly, they got it. And so I'm having a reasonably good summer because of that. All right, enough chit-chat. if you have your Bible, let's get into the text, and I'll show you some things about it. Now, remember, the first six chapters of Daniel are history, and we can draw some good stuff from them. After that, you can draw some good stuff, too, but it gets highly symbolic as Daniel, living in exile, is thinking about the future, because we are driven by the future. The great hope of the church when Jesus returns is one of the things that puts gasoline in our engine right now. Let me suggest that if you were a bunch of people and I could see all of you, I'd divide you in half. And to one half, I would say, I've got some great news for you. We have developed a spaceship that is so phenomenal, it will blow you away. We're going to send you into space, and you're going to be in space for a long time. You're going to see things that nobody's ever seen. You're going to see amazing demonstrations of the universe. And we're sending you to another planet, not altogether like Earth, but far better. And you're going to be the forefathers and the foremothers of a brand new race on that planet. Now, I turn to the other group, and I would say, I have some wonderful news for you. We're going to put you on a spaceship that's going to take you into the universe. You're going to see sights that nobody has ever seen. You're going to see into the universe the way no human being has ever seen into the universe. But there's some bad news. The bad news is we don't know how to bring you back. I mean, you're going to die there, and it's going to end. Now, on which spaceship do you think they would write poetry? On which spaceship would there be great music? On which spaceship would there be joy and laughter? I'll tell you, the ones where there was a future. Well, it's the same thing with us. Let me tell you something. Jesus is coming back. Look busy. No, he's not angry at you if you're a believer. Jesus is coming back, and he's going to clean up the mess. And we've got a future. And if you're a believer, you're going to live forever. I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor the mind of man conceived what God has prepared for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So, if you've got a future, that can drive you. We're going to look at what Daniel did in Babylon when he was going through a very, or at least God's people. He didn't do half bad until the lion's den. But we'll get into that in a minute. But God's people were going through an awful time. But they looked to a future, and Daniel talked about that future. And the fact that there is a future, starting at the 6th chapter of Daniel 7, the fact that there is a future is maybe more important than the details of that future. But we'll be looking at some various views when we get there. But now let's get into the historical section. If you have a Bible, open it to the first chapter, and I'm going to start at the 8th verse and read through the 21st verse. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who has appointed you food and drink. For why should he see your faces looking worse than the young men who are your age, the other young men? Then you would endanger my head before the king. In other words, eat turkey, because if you don't eat, you're going to look tired and drawn and pale. And the king's going to see that, and he's going to ask me why, and I'm going to have to tell him you wouldn't eat the food I put before you. So Daniel said to the steward, whom the chief of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servants for 10 days, and let them give us vegetables to eat, and water to drink, and let our countenances be examined before you, and the countenances of the young men who eat the portion of the king's delicacies, and as you see fit, so deal with your servants. You know what I would have done? Man, I'd eaten the rich food, and I would have drunk the wine. I'm a teetotaler, but I would have taken the wine. I would have eaten the French pastries and the prime rib and stuff, and I'd have kept my mouth shut. But you see, that was food And by the way, those of you who are vegetarians who use this text to justify your vegetarianism, it is an inappropriate text for that reason. The reason Daniel didn't want to eat the delicacies is that they had been offered to idols. So Daniel said, I'm not eating that stuff. And God's going to make me healthier than the other people who do eat that stuff. So you give me vegetables and water, and I'll be okay. And that's exactly, if you read the rest of the chapter, what happened. So Daniel said, I'm going to do this right, and God has promised that it'll come out all right. And it really does. Let me tell you something. I've been in trouble a lot. Doing the right thing, being obedient to God. I mean, if you think everything's going to be fine if you do that, you're out of your mind. But let me tell you something else. I've been in trouble doing the opposite of what God told me to do. I've been in trouble sinning. I've been in trouble in rebellion. And in both places, I'd rather be in trouble doing it God's way than I would be in trouble doing it my way or somebody else's way. And you say, why that? Because when I do it His way, I'm cooperating with the greatest power on the universe. Someday you'll say, well done, good and faithful servant. You think about that. Amen. Hey, listen, if you don't have the summer magazine, I'd love to send it to you. I wrote an article, The Law, Surprise, God's Gateway to Freedom, Brian Chappell's piece, The Power of Joy, you're going to love. There's a question and answer column, a devotional focus. A lot of good resources to get you and those you love home with freedom and joy and faithfulness to Christ as your coming achievement. If you'd like it, I'd like to send it to you as long as supplies last. 1-800-KEY-LIFE, 24 hours a day. Or you can write Key Life Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794. Or Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5N3. Or you can email us at steve@keylife.org with your regular mailing address. Ask for the summer magazine, and it's free. And I really mean that. Don't you dare not write or call because you can't afford to send a contribution. But if you can send a contribution, you will help the many thousands of people to whom we send free tapes and free literature. This is a family sort of thing, and I would appreciate it if you would be the champion. You can charge it on a MasterCard, Visa, Discover card included in your envelope. For any contribution of any size, I'll send you, when you request it, the cassette teaching Mercy's Freedom, the freedom God gives to His people. Gotta go, but first, I must say, Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.